I'm Natalia Hepworth for BYU Idaho Radio, and today I'm speaking with Annika Champenwa. Her latest book, Walter Times 2, was recently released. Annika is an underwriting analyst by day and an author of Latter-day Saint fiction by night.
Well, let's just go ahead and jump right in. Why don't you tell me why you decided to pursue your book and why you decided to become an author?
All right, yeah. Ever since I was small, I'd loved to read books and make up stories. And so if ever there was a writing assignment in school that I could turn into a creative writing assignment, I did that. Mm. So I've written about 15 books from beginning to end, and I have another 20, 30 that I have ideas for, and I've written partway through. Now I'm finally getting down to actually publishing them, really refining them, getting them publishable, and getting them out there. So this is my second book that's out. And these first two books I've published, there's kind of a bigger purpose to them. They are a lot of fun, really cool story ideas I came up with. But also the characters are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mm. And there's just an underlying goodness in those books that I hope will help readers to just rediscover, just remember how good it is to just be a part of the church, to just be religious and believe in God. And I'm hoping that those books will also help non-members have their hearts softened toward the church or become curious or just enjoy the story.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you go ahead and tell us the premise about your book? I know that we kind of have talked offline about what it's about, but let's hear it from your own words.
Right. So this takes place at BYU Provo. When a stranger knocks on her door and proposes, Aurelia kind of freaks out, and Walter, realizing she doesn't know him, tries to explain to her that he has traveled back in time and apparently gone too far, but the damage is done. She thinks he's crazy and a stalker, and he has to find a way to get her and his other self to date.
No, that is awesome. And yes, you do set up, you know, your characters and their fun personalities and a little bit about them, obviously, at the beginning of your book. But why don't you tell us about your main character and the initial shock that she faces when she finds this out?
Right. So Aurelia, she's not going to believe this time travel story. Like, that's crazy, right? So this stranger just knocks on her door. He's really good looking. She's really attracted to him right up until the moment he kneels and holds out a ring, and she's like, what's going on? She, of course, does not believe in time travel. And, she thinks he's stalking me. He somehow knows my name and my address. And she starts to see over the next two scenes, she meets his other self, thinks it's the same guy who just proposed, and just ends up in this crazy love triangle where she thinks at first, where she starts to realize there are two identical guys running around, but one or both of them has to be crazy. And it's going to take her a while to actually believe that he's traveled back in time.
Wow. That's such an interesting concept. Where did you come up with this idea?
It was just the idea of what if a stranger proposed, a complete stranger, and what if that wasn't a joke? What if he actually knew her somehow? I'm not into science fiction. I really like realistic stories, things that could happen to you and to me. And so this is very soft on the sci-fi, but I just needed this time travel element to make it for a really fun story.
Absolutely. So how are you hoping that readers will respond to your new book that's coming out?
I hope they'll spread the word. I hope they'll have a lot of fun reading it, laugh out loud, enjoy the characters. I know most of my readers have pretty much named Jackie the roommate, the best sidekick character ever.
Love that.
And one of my early beta readers said she's pretty picky about her romantic couples, but she shipped Aurelia and Walter. So I'm hoping to get similar reactions from readers, that they'll really like the people and enjoy just the clean, cute, funny romance.
So as an author, why do you feel like it's important to have a book that's wholesome, or to have a book that incorporates good media and good wholesome content?
It just makes our lives better. We're so much happier when the things we consume and the things we think and do are clean and wholesome. That's where we get true joy.
in books, especially with young adult books specifically, it seems like there's certain themes that authors are trying to integrate, especially as time goes on, that are reflective of pop culture or things that are happening in the culture. But why do you feel like your book maybe could be a timeless story?
Because we love these kinds of romances. The idea of having, you know, I really enjoy the stories where the guy just likes her. He's not thinking about anyone else. He just likes her. And she's not running around being interested in a bunch of different people and trying to figure out who she likes the best. They just like each other from the start, or, well, maybe one of them doesn't. But yeah, it's so much fun and enjoyable to read that. Just kind of feel with her that there's someone, she doesn't have to worry and wonder if he likes her. She just is worried about the whole time travel aspect.
Right, absolutely. As far as your personal experiences, do you feel like you are reflected in this character at all?
Yes, I actually did put a lot of me in Aurelia. In my first book, I was surprised when I was told that the main character reminded people of me. But in the second one, I definitely put me in Aurelia. She's a story maker, is how I term it. She makes up stories. She wants to write and be an author. And I show in a few places how she starts to get ideas. So that might be fun for other writers and wannabe writers. And then she's sweet, she's cute, she wants to find love, she wants to have a family, I kind of put a lot of my personality in her, not perfectly. I have a little bit more confidence than she does in this story. I have a little bit less confidence than my main character in my first story, so I'm kind of a hybrid of those two.
Right. Do you feel like your family has been supportive of you as an author and the story ideas that you've decided to run with?
Oh, yes. They're helping spread the word. They're kind of telling people, bragging a little bit. And then they let me know, oh, my friend texted me and she said, this sounds like a great book and so-and-so wants to read it. And so-and-so wants to have you talk. I got to give a fireside talk in February on Fearless Missionary Work from the Life of an Author, and we've had a couple of friends they share that fireside with who really enjoyed it. So yeah, my family is sharing and reading my books, and I have beta readers, I have editors, but I also really appreciate feedback from my family on those stories. Some of them are editors, some of them are not, but were able to tell me between those first two books, you know, I don't know why, but this one isn't quite ready to be published, and that one is. So I appreciate them very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've had a friend that's looked at your book and been able to read some of your book, and she said that you had a very fun and interesting idea, and she likes the concept that it's, you know, centered around this BYU setting. So
yeah,
as far as your book being accessible to the public, and I know that you've already kind of touched on this, how do you hope that the general public will accept your book versus just a BYU or an LDS audience?
Right. I really do hope that it spreads to, I've tried to any church things. I'm not making it preachy. That wouldn't be fun for members or non-members to read, but the gospel is not really a part of the plot line, but it's a part of who the characters are. And so when church things come up that not everyone would be familiar with, I give a brief explanation if I can manage it in a way that it doesn't feel like it's narration, and maybe it's even kind of funny the way it's presented. And then there's a page at the back of each book that explains a little bit further about some of those church terms. So yeah, I want the word to spread. Obviously, this takes place at BYU, and those who have been to BYU love to read it and picture those buildings they already know about. I think they're experiencing a lot of nostalgia. But those who aren't familiar with BYU or with the church, I try to write it in a way that they won't be confused and that they'll have a lot of fun reading the story.
So do you have other ways that you've decided to spread your testimony, or is authorship the primary method of your testimony spreading?
So on my author website, I've found a few ways to bring up the fact that I write clean fiction because I don't want to offend God, myself, or the reader. I've brought up some of my favorite books and said, besides the Book of Mormon and Other Testament of Jesus Christ, I've read no other books as often as these. So in my authorship, there are several ways I get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also love just to be a ward missionary and a friend with people in my ward and other wards. I don't know if you're looking for this answer, but I'm studying Chinese right now. It'll be my fifth language.
Wow.
I'm studying it for the same reason President Nelson did, with the hope that God will use me as an instrument in his hands to serve some of his Chinese-speaking sons and daughters. So I really love missionary work, and I want to help in whatever way I can.
Right, absolutely. So some of the firesides that you've spoken at specifically, do you touch on your book and your ideas in your books, or what subject matters have you been able to cover?
Right. So in that first fireside, I touched on some of those things that I brought up on my website, ways that I was able to share, to just bring up God, church, scriptures in natural and normal ways, promptings I got from the Spirit saying, hey, you need to share the For the Strength of Youth pamphlet on your website. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, I guess here's a pretty natural way to share it. And there was a website, I paid for a couple of professional reviews of my book from organizations that aren't familiar with the church. And I was really interested in seeing how they would react. And they fortunately loved the book and even started to explain some of the church atmosphere to others who don't know about this church. And that was way cool to see. I shared about the website, the page in the back of my book that explains church terms further. And then I shared just a few little short sections from my book, how I put into words some of these church terms. And I talked about the idea of we don't need to hide. You know, if someone asks you, how was your week or how are you doing? And you start thinking, I'm really struggling, but yesterday's priesthood blessing helped me. Oh, no, I can't share that. That's churchy. No, go ahead and share it and then just give a brief explanation. Your friend isn't going to be offended that you bring up a priesthood blessing. They're probably going to be kind of interested. And at the very least, they'll just be like, I'm sorry you're struggling, but I'm glad you're feeling a little better.
Right, absolutely. Well, I love that perspective of just casually sharing your testimony, but doing it in a way that isn't, you know, overbearing or preachy, like you said in your previous comments. So as far as your other book, is it Artfully Annoying? Am I getting this title correct?
Yes.
Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. So, Suri is the girl the guy dates just before he finds his dream girl. So she's been wrong girl over and over, and I think a lot of us have been. Then she falls victim to a hidden camera prank, finds out the guy behind the prank is in one of her classes at school, BYU again, and he pesters her to go out with him. She is not interested, but eventually she decides the quickest way to get rid of him is to give in and date him and then wait for his dream girl to show up.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, geez, it sounds like you have stories with, I really think, cute female leads. And obviously you're interested in this romance aspect. And like you said, a little bit of sci-fi in your newest book. What's down the road for you? What's next?
There's a neighbor feud story, two single parents living next door to each other. Great romance. There's another new adult romance, and I actually want to write a couple of stories that are set in scriptural times. One of them would be from Elma's time. I've had some thoughts about a possible story with him and his wife. I mean, I definitely doubt that's how it really happened, but a pretty cool story. And another one based on the Tower of Babel, which would be easier to market that one to members and non-members alike, because everyone knows about the Tower of Babel, and I'm so interested in languages, and so that's kind of a story I've got to write.
No, that's wonderful. Well, that's so exciting. As far as your day job, what does your everyday look like? What do you do right now currently?
I'm a health insurance underwriter. It means I quote large employers, find out what people need to pay in premium. And so it's actually pretty fun. I get to spend about half my day on that and half my day on writing, marketing, learning more things about authoring. And so I split my time between kind of data analysis and mathematics and the creative writing. So I actually really enjoy having that balance.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you feel like that balance has helped you with your authorship?
Can I say my normal job keeps me grounded in reality, which is great because my books need to be able to draw on what's a normal life.
You are self-published, is that correct? Or do you have a publisher that you're going through?
Self-published.
Okay, perfect. And that's for both of your books or just this one?
Both of them, yes.
Okay, awesome. What positive spin do you have to put on self-publishing and just being independent and doing things on your own and getting your book out there no matter what?
Yeah, I have found I like to be independent. I always told myself I will only go traditional publishing. I want to make sure my book is publishable. But writing LDS fiction, although it's open to all audiences, I only had a very few traditional publishers to choose between, and they were starting to require agents, which I really just want to go on my own. And then I heard about problems with contracts, and I finally just felt like, no, I need to go the self-publishing route. And I found that you can do it right. I did a ton of self-editing. I had beta readers. I hired editors for two different types of edits, then went through revising and proofreading. And there are so many resources online to help you. And on the self-publishing platform, they have a lot of resources to help you know how to do everything right, how to make this a good book.
You know, that's wonderful. So your book came out on Tuesday, April 2nd, and you're excited for people to read. Where can they find your book?
It's available with any online retailer, so especially Amazon.
Perfect.
And it's available as both paperback and ebook. Eventually, I will get audiobooks made, but for now, we have paperback and ebook.
Well, thank you so much again for joining us on BYU Idaho Radio. I'm excited for people to learn more about your story, and it sounds like you have a fun idea, so we're excited to see what you do next. You can find the story about Annika along with other interviews on byui.edu/radio. Tune in every weekday around 12:40 to hear interviews like this on KPYI 94.3 FM. You can also stream our interviews online at byui.edu/radio. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Natalia Hepworth.